This episode is brought to you by Dietz and Watson.
Molly, it's time we have the talk about hot dogs.
Okay. Well, hey, I'm looking for a hot dog that's the real deal, Matthew.
Like a classic hot dog that, like, when you think of, like, the platonic ideal of a hot dog, I recommend Dietz and Watson's Dietz Dogs.
Ah, well, I've heard that they're handcrafted and made using only Dietz and Watson premium meat.
I can vouch for this because Dietz and Watson sent us a big box of hot dogs and other delights, and wife of the show, Lori, and I had them for dinner last night. We had the classic beef Dietz dogs with toasted buns with sauerkraut and pickled jalapenos and Dietz and Watson ballpark-style yellow mustard.
Do you think you'd recommend Dietz and Watson hot dogs for fried rice?
Oh, yeah. Fried rice with some sliced hot dogs. I'm going to be doing that soon. Wife of the show, Lori, is going to be making the hot dog flour buns from Christina Cho's cookbook, Mooncakes and Milk Bread. Very excited for this.
And I'm especially pleased because Dietz and Watson does things the right way. So this means, like, no additives, no fillers, no artificial flavors, no cutting corners. You can feel good about this stuff.
Dietz and Watson. It's a family thing since 1939.
Shop now at dietzandwatson.com/the right way.
That's Dietz, D-I-E-T-Z, and watson.com/the right way. I'm Matthew.
And I'm Molly.
And this is Spilled Milk, the show where we cook something delicious, eat it all, and you can't have any.
Today, we are talking about sandwich bread.
Yeah, and we've definitely talked about this before in some forms. We had a Chocopon episode. I know we've talked about, like, Pepperidge Farm toasting white before.
Yeah, I know we've talked about that old Home Pride whole wheat bread ad they're, like, pouring butter down the loaf.
Right, the one that's the sexiest thing that was ever on TV.
That's exactly right. But I don't remember what episode that was. And you know what? I don't remember ever learning the things that I'm going to share today.
Oh, I'm
this
very
episode.
Excited.
Don't
is,
be.
Is it corporate history? Because I love your corporate
histories. No. So it was really interesting, actually, trying to research this episode, because I realized that when I was searching for the phrase sandwich bread,
yeah,
it was just giving me information about sandwiches. And I did not want to go down, like, an Earl of Sandwich thing.
We should have specified that what you mean is a sandwich with a slice of bread between two other slices of bread.
That's right. So
if you think about it, when you've got, like, a loaf of sliced sandwich bread, it's like a series of sandwiches.
That's right. But with no filling.
But the filling is a slice of bread.
Oh.
So, like, this here is a sandwich, these three.
God, Matthew, this is a dumb joke. Okay, hold up. But so I wound up using the search term sliced bread.
Smart.
Yeah, because really this was, so what we think of today as sandwich bread, or like a sliced loaf of bread, was really what the idea of commercial sliced bread was.
Because, like, now,
like, from the beginning.
When I think about it, like, this like, softy here, like, this Franz naked bread, like, if they sold it to you unsliced and you tried to slice it at home, it would be a carnage.
That's exactly right. A carnage. That's exactly right. And we're going to talk a little bit about that, because most of what we know as, like, store-bought sandwich bread has been, in part, tailored to being this product that is designed to be sliced and sold to be shelf stable for a number of days.
Yeah, okay.
So it's, you know, I mean, have you ever baked sandwich bread at home or something in a loaf pan, like a Pullman loaf or?
I think so, but not often.
I remember when I was going through my first sourdough starter phase, this would have been like 2005, early days of the blog, I was making various types of sourdough bread, and one that I made was a loaf. I think it's really hard to make a homemade loaf of bread that has a crumb that can stand up to being sliced well and then spread with, like, condiments or whatever.
Well, I mean, like, if you're making, like, a rustic loaf, sure. But, like,
but that's not sandwich bread.
Right. I understand.
I mean, sandwich bread, I think, has to have a soft crust.
It has to have a soft crust. Yeah. No, I see what you mean.
So anyway, we'll talk about it. So yeah, we're not talking about, you know, specifically Chocopon or Pullman loaves or whatever. We are talking about sliced bread sold commercially to be used in sandwiches.
And I think of Wonder Bread as being kind of like the,
yes,
the type species of this type of bread.
Exactly. So all the breads we're talking about today, you know, as a broad group, they have a soft crust and a very light and uniform crumb.
Yeah.
It's always pre-sliced by machine And
yes.
And then sold in like a plastic bag, at least here in the U.S. I don't know. Maybe in other places, it's not always in a plastic bag. I don't know.
I mean, I've seen it in Canada.
According to Wikipedia, the thing we know as sandwich bread may be formulated to slice easily, cleanly, or uniformly. Sandwich bread may be designed to have a balanced proportion of crumb and crust, whereby the bread holds and supports fillings in place and reduces drips and messiness. Some may be designed to not become crumbly, hardened, dried, or have too compressible a texture.
Okay. This all tracks.
This all checks out.
I mean, I don't want my sandwich bread to be overly drippy.
That's right.
Especially like if I open the bag of bread and I pull a slice out and it's already dripping, like I prefer for that not to happen.
Okay. Well, let's talk about like where this comes from. Okay. Because I was kind of surprised by this, but the bread slicing machine.
Okay.
The automatic bread slicer was invented in the U.S.
Okay.
About 100 years ago. So here we go. Okay.
Ready.
Are you ready? According to the History Channel. Humans have been baking bread in some form or other for about 30,000 years.
Okay.
Okay. But sliced.
Did they, like, when bread was invented, was there like a special on the History Channel about like this new thing?
30,000 years ago? Uh-huh. For sure. Yeah. Sliced
probably
bread.
Probably the Fertile Crescent.
Yeah. You look so pleased. Okay. Sliced bread has only been around since like the early 1900s. And here's where things get a little weird. I read about this guy both on Wikipedia and on the History Channel website.
Okay.
His name was Otto Roweder. R-O-H-W-E-D-D-E-R.
Okay. Which is German for bread slicer.
And he was a jeweler based in Missouri.
Has the name Otto made a comeback? Like, are there little kids named Otto?
It was a name we considered for Ames.
Oh, cool. Because it's awesome.
It is awesome, isn't it? So the History Channel described this guy as being obsessed with creating like this bread slicing machine.
Oh, and I'm sorry. I just breezed past the fact that he was a jeweler.
Yeah. But with no explanation of like how this jeweler became obsessed with creating like a mechanized way of slicing bread.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know like how busy things are like when you run a jewelry store, like how often do people need like diamond rings and shit?
I don't know. But here's the deal. It took him over 15 years to develop this. Apparently, like in like 1912 or something, there was even a fire that like destroyed his original prototype of the machine.
No.
The first commercial loaves using his very first like successful machine. These loaves were produced on July 6th, 1928 in Missouri at some bakery called the Chillicothe Baking Company of Chillicothe, Missouri.
Are we going to talk about how the bread slicing machine works?
You know,
because wow, do I have questions.
Yeah, well, I know.
Okay, because like when you said bread slicing machine, I was like, oh, yeah, of course, like that there would be a bread slicing machine. But then when I started thinking about how it would work, I imagined that like forcing the loaf like through just like a bunch of knives, and that would not work because
no.
It would just like get smooshed.
No, it uses double-sided blades, and I did see like a little drawing of it, but
Do the blades like vibrate or something?
I mean, at least the ones that I have seen, like modern day automated bread slicers.
Okay, that makes sense.
I really liked what the local newspaper in Chillicothe, I may be pronouncing this wrong, Chillicothe, Missouri. I really liked what they said about his contraption. And they said this the day after the first loaves came out of the bakery.
Yeah.
Okay. That while some people might find sliced bread, quote, startling, the typical housewife could expect, quote, a thrill of pleasure when she first sees a loaf of this bread with each slice the exact counterpart of its fellows. So neat and I'm still reading from the newspaper. Right. So neat and precise are the slices, and so definitely better than anyone could possibly slice by hand with a bread knife, that one realizes instantly that here is a refinement that will receive a hearty and permanent welcome.
Wow.
The article also recounted that, quote, considerable research had gone into determining the right thickness for each slice, which Mr. Roweder determined to be slightly less than half an inch.
I wonder if that's like still.
I feel like there's much more variability these days.
Yeah.
Like we've got two loaves of sandwich bread
here. Well, but the naked loaf is like known for being thick sliced.
It is?
Oh, yeah.
Oh. Like, is that T-H-I-C-C sliced?
Yeah, it's naked and thick.
Okay.
So, okay. So wait. So when you said like they found it startling, like do you think like people swooned a lot? When they first took a dripping slice of bread out of the bag.
I love the idea that each slice is the exact counterpart of its fellows.
Yeah. I like God. The idea that there was a thrill of pleasure.
Oh, a frisson. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Otto Rowetter's first machine that was successful was the one in that baking company. Well,
okay.
He sold the second one to this St. Louis baker. All right. And this baker in St. Louis was like, wah, ha, ha, I'm going to make this even better.
Are you not going to say the name of the St. Louis baker?
You say it.
Gustav Poppendick.
That's perfect. Anyway, he set out to improve Rowetter's slicer by devising a way to keep the slices together at least long enough to allow the loaves to be wrapped.
Okay.
And he first tried this using like rubber bands and metal pins and stuff, and then he settled on placing the slices onto a cardboard tray.
All right.
Which then like aligned the slices, and then you could like slide the loaf, I guess, into like a mechanized wrapping machine. I don't know. This was all very slightly interesting.
Yeah, but it seems like how long did it take for this to settle down into like, because the format of like sliced bread in a bag has not changed at all our entire lifetimes.
Okay, well, right? Check this out.
Okay.
These statistics are kind of shocking to me. So keep in mind that this first slicing machine sliced its first loaves in July of 1928.
Oh yeah, I remember.
Okay. Now, by 1930, these slicing machines and sliced bread could be found across the country. In fact, by that point, 1930, the majority of Americans were eating commercially made bread as opposed to homemade. And get this, by 1933, about 80% of bread sold in the U.S. was pre-sliced.
Wow.
That is a shocking, like, speed, like, diffusion of innovation.
Yeah. Did Otto Rowetter get rich? And did he have like a sad Citizen Kane downfall?
I don't know. He kind of just, I have to admit, I didn't click on the Wikipedia entry for him.
That's fine.
But anyway.
Did you click on Poppendick?
I did not. No. No. Another thing I found interesting is that apparently, so, you know, by 1933, 80% of bread sold in the U.S. was pre-sliced.
Yeah.
But it took until the 1950s for the same to be true in the U.K. So
do you have a theory on this?
That it was across an ocean?
Like it took a while for the slicing machines to arrive by boat?
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe. I don't know. I mean, also, I don't know. Have we always been a more sandwichy culture? I mean, the Earl of Sandwich was in Europe, not here.
Yes. Yes, he was.
We don't have earls.
I mean, we have like they have like Earl's family restaurant chain in Canada. Do we have earls in the U.S.? Listeners, if you're an earl or like one, someone in your family is an earl, write in. Contact at spilledmilkpodcast.com.
Okay. So anyway, let me talk a little bit more from the History Channel.
Please.
So these like factory produced loaves of sliced bread were designed to be softer than those that would be made at home.
Keep squeezing this loaf.
Or at like small local bakeries, because the bread buying public had come to equate, quote, squeezable softness with freshness. Seems like there's like a lot of crossover in marketing between sandwich bread and toilet paper.
Oh, I thought like, you were going to say like softness. Fabric softener. But yeah, that too.
Apparently, when the first slicer came out, these loaves were already trending toward being softer, and they were difficult to slice at home.
Yeah, loaves always trending.
So Otto Rowetter's invention really came at just the right time. This is so exciting. Anyway, back to Wonder Bread, which you mentioned at the beginning. So one of the first major brands was Wonder, which actually launched in 1925 before the slicer.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
So early loaves of Wonder Bread were not sliced.
Do you think they were pretty much the same, but were just like a solid tube of soft ass bread?
I think so.
Okay.
But the popularity of Wonder really took off after it was marketed in sliced form, which happened in 1930. So, yeah, Wonder Bread was, anyway, it's so interesting. I'd never pictured people trying to like slice Wonder Bread at home. And I'm sure that the formula was not exactly what it is now, but still, I cannot imagine slicing this kind of crap at home.
Oh,
like,
no.
This would be a disaster.
It would be completely, like, you would have to retire from cooking.
Yes. I don't really have a whole lot more to say, except that the idiom, the greatest thing since sliced bread, I couldn't actually find a very good history of it.
Yeah, when I saw that on the agenda, I was like, well, maybe I can find the answer. No, not at all.
Yeah. So what I'm seeing is that in 1933, there was an ad for bread offering thick and thin slices in the same loaf. And this ad called this bread the first improvement since sliced bread.
Why would you... What is the sales pitch there?
Well, hold on. Here's another one. And in 1940, a package of bread consisting of two wrapped half loaves was advertised as the greatest convenience since sliced bread. What? Two wrapped half loaves? Is this that, like, one with, like, they stay fresher longer? But why?
Maybe. I mean, what's the half-life of a half loaf? I don't know. Like, I want you to keep telling me, like, more failed bread innovations because they're my new favorite thing. No, I'm still stuck on the one that has thin and thick slices in the same bag.
Can you even imagine making a sandwich and being like, oh, I only have one thin and one thick. I'm going to have, like...
That would be such a weird sandwich.
It would be so weird.
And, you know, what would happen every time is, like, you know, you would be stuck with whatever size you didn't want. Like, your dumb kid ate all of the thin slices and left you with the thick slices again. This episode is brought to you by MasterClass.
Matthew, this weekend, I took a class from somebody who I bet you admire as much as I do.
Okay, let me see it. Let me see if I can guess who that is. Denzel Washington.
No, so close, though.
Okay.
Margaret Atwood.
Okay, yeah, very similar.
Yes. So Margaret Atwood, she has a series of 23 classes on MasterClass.
23 classes.
23 classes. And I only had time, honestly, to watch two of them. But one of the ones that I watched was about how she chose to do to write The Handmaid's Tale in first person, where she wrote Alias Grace from multiple points of view.
Wow.
And so it was so interesting to listen to her talk about, like, the feeling that she wanted the book to have and why a story should be told from this perspective or that one. Anyway, even though I'm a writer and I teach writing, I think this stuff would be fascinating even to people who just read the book. It was so great.
Yeah, I mean, MasterClass is for you if you're like me, a bit of a prima donna, and you're like, I want to learn something, but I only want to learn from the best. Mm-hmm. You go to MasterClass. You can, learn to think like a boss with Martha Stewart. You can learn to shoot three-pointers with Steph Curry. Like, if you imagine the person who's best at the thing you want to learn, they are probably already on MasterClass teaching how to do it.
That is accurate. And plus, every new membership comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So, like, zero risk here. If you are a lifelong learner, and we certainly hope you are,
if you're a lifelong learner, why are you listening to this show? Instead, head over to MasterClass for an additional 15% off an annual membership at masterclass.com/spilledmilk15.
Get 15% off right now at masterclass.com/spilledmilk15.
That's masterclass.com/spilledmilk15.
Reese's peanut butter cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
Speaking of, like, dumb marketing campaigns for sliced bread, how do you feel about the heels?
Oh, that's a good question. Honestly, I want to be like a person who will eat the heel, but usually I toss it.
I toss the heel. I don't like the heel. Nobody in my family wants to eat the heel.
I think almost nobody likes them.
Well, so I'm sure that there have been breads marketed as, like, being without the heel.
Well, I mean, all shokupan in...
Well, that's what I was going to say.
Most shokupan in Japan is sold without the heels.
And so in Japan, what do they do with all the heels?
I think they might use them... I feel like I knew the answer to this at some point and I don't remember.
Okay.
I think for one thing, I think they're very small, so they're like shaving off just like a very thin layer at the end, not like a whole slice size.
Okay.
But I don't know.
I mean, I will say that one thing the heel is good for is kind of acting as like a little cap on the end.
It does,
for freshness.
It does kind of protect the end, the last slice.
Would you buy a loaf of sandwich bread that was sold like without the heel? Like that was like part of its appeal. Like you get more bread that's usable.
Part of its appeal lacks the heel. I think I might.
But then I think that last slice is always like everybody's going to avoid that last slice because it's going to be the dried out one.
Maybe we could do this as an heel.
The heel is like the soldier in like the first line of battle, you know, like you send them out there to get slaughtered so that everybody else can survive.
Yeah, I mean, and that's a good system.
That's a great system.
But we could do this as an experiment. We could like throw the heels away first and see what happens to that last slice.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm doing it.
Oh, God. Okay. So wait, are we going to taste these? Hold on.
Yeah, of course.
I feel like we should. We have two different breads here, both made by Franz Bakery.
It's Franz.
It is Franz. I hate that. It looks like Franz.
Like Hans and Franz?
Well, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, if we were in like Eastern Europe, this would be pronounced Franz.
Yeah, but we're not.
That's right. We're not. You're right.
Okay. So, all right. So we've got, this is like the our favorite sandwich bread in the Amster Burton house is the Franz San Juan 9-grain. I know we've talked about this before, but like it seems like you can, whatever number of grains you want in your bread, you can find someone advertising like 17 grain, like, you know, 12 grain. 13 grade.
7 grain.
Yeah. But this one I like the texture. It's a good amount of like crunchy grainy bits. And then you asked me to get the Franz naked honey wheat.
Which says Franz in like the tiny fine print on the back.
Do you remember that this used to be called something else? And I think we were both kind of obsessed with the previous version also that made a great grilled cheese. And like, this is pretty much the same.
It was called like butter white or
butter
something.
Butter white. Thank you.
But that was only the white bread.
Right.
I don't know if they had a wheat line.
I don't know if there was a butter wheat.
Wait, it occurs to me that because these are both made by Franz, which is a local Seattle company, like other people can't get this like naked bread, or is this distributed nationally?
I don't know if it is. I think it is. I think Franz is just like a Northwest thing, but I'm not sure.
Well, anyway, this
is it going to be a problem if people can't get the exact sandwich bread that we're eating on the show?
Yeah.
Because do you remember our slogan?
Oh yeah, that they can't have any anyway. Anyway, so my family, we buy this naked bread, which is a, I would say the loaf is on the smaller side. So the pieces of bread are smaller.
But thicker.
And thicker. My child actively dislikes things like this 9-grain thing, which is annoying to me because June actually isn't somebody who rejects seeds or nuts in things.
Should
but
I
they
toast
don't
these?
Like no, I was, you know, first yesterday I said we should toast them. But then I thought, that's not how you eat a sandwich.
I mean, so how do you usually eat these at home?
Not toasted.
Okay, so I usually toast them and put peanut butter or Nutella on, or sometimes jam.
But if you make, but those, that's an open-faced sandwich.
That is not an open-faced sandwich. That's toast.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Are we, so just one piece of bread?
Just one piece of bread.
That's
toasted with peanut butter on it. So, no one ever has ever called that an open face sandwich.
No, no, wait, but hold on. Wait.
Yes, please continue.
but do you ever use these for sandwiches?
I use them for grilled cheese sandwiches.
Okay.
I never use them for untoasted sandwiches because I don't really like untoasted sandwiches. You know this about me.
That's right. You like hot sandwiches.
I like hot sandwiches.
God, you and my spouse, you guys love hot sandwiches. I find hot sandwiches. I mean, when you have served me a hot sandwich, I'm like,
hang on,
yes.
I gotta text your spouse and ask if we can start a hot sandwich club.
Okay. Hold on.
All right, good.
I'm going to try this. This is quite sweet.
That's really tasty. Yeah.
It's really tasty.
Honey wheat.
This is very
It's got
stretchy.
Such good spring. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
So this is the thicker one. I really like this.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
But how would you feel about this with your usual jam and toast treatment?
I would love it.
Great. Okay. Too sweet?
No.
All right.
So wife of the show, Lori, like her usual strategy with sandwich bread, and it is indeed a strategy, is to put some peanut butter on it untoasted.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Which I can get behind.
Mm-hmm. Mm. This is a nice flavor.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. They're so different. This one, the 9-grain, I would say is actually a little bit sweeter.
Would you like to know what the 9 grains are?
No.
Great. It's steel-cut oats, soft white wheat flakes, triticale flakes, barley flakes, steel-cut wheat, oat flakes, rye flakes, amaranth, flax seeds, wheat germ, whole grain cornmeal.
Mm. That has a real, like a grain sweetness.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I like that.
I like the grainy bread, like when you toast it, I like how some of the seeds kind of pop.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Hold on, I'm going back to the naked bread.
Mm-hmm.
The aftertaste of the naked bread is very flat,
mm-hmm.
whereas the aftertaste of the nine grain is like rounder and nuttier.
Yeah, which is weird because both of the slices are flat.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Oh, this is thought-provoking. I do love what Lori is into, which is just a plain, like, untoasted piece of sandwich bread spread with peanut butter.
Oh, it is very good. Yeah.
I love how the bread kind of flops.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I love that. It's
totally.
And it is kind of a spongy, like, sticky Celeste for One experience behind your front teeth. But I like that.
Do you ever make cinnamon toast? Have we ever done a cinnamon toast episode?
No, but my child loves making cinnamon toast.
I love cinnamon toast. Mm-hmm. Like, that was such an incredible treat when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm. I know, I probably let June have it too much. I don't think they'd consider it a treat.
Oh, yeah. No, I feel like I had a very different philosophy on treats as a parent than my parents did.
Oh, yeah, me too. Mm-hmm. Anyway, yeah, we have a little ceramic, like, cylinder with a cork at the bottom and a couple holes at the top. It's a cinnamon sugar shaker.
Oh, okay.
And it actually has cinnamon sugar painted on it, and it was my grandmother's, and that's what June uses.
Did she paint it at one of those, like, paint the town places?
No, but did I tell you that what a good parent I am, that June was dying to go to that place mm-hmm. at U Village? It took us 3 different attempts to get in because there's often like a 3-hour wait.
Is there like a velvet rope?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We did it. And the stuff we painted is so good.
Oh, what'd you make?
I made a little vase, like a little bud vase. And June made this little, it was called a lantern. It's like a little, it's meant to hold a votive candle. It's the shape of a house and all the little windows and the chimney are cut out. So you put a votive candle in there and it looks
very
like
nice.
It glows. Oh my God. So
sounds
cute.
Sounds like a real Thomas Kincaid kind of effect there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, like this bread, I know that especially with the advent of like Dave's Killer Bread and stuff in recent years, people have talked about this as being like, I don't know, like not real bread or whatever.
Yeah, I know what you
mean. But this is perfectly delicious stuff.
It's own
thing. It is what it is. I'm going to put this out there. I do not want my PB&J on like crusty artisan bread.
No.
No,
that doesn't make
any,
that's
that.
Not a PB&J. That's something else.
Yeah, that's wrong.
And if you like your PB&J on that kind of bread, you're a bad person.
That's right. That said, I think that there's room for a grilled cheese on bread like that.
Oh, yeah. But
that's like a different kind of grilled cheese.
Yeah, I like both kinds.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anything else we need to say?
I could even go for like a grilled PB&J on rustic bread.
No.
No? Mm-mm. Okay.
Nope.
I could even go for... So if you look at the bag, you see it's like got like bread sandwiches in it.
Matthew. Okay. Hey, do we have anything else to say?
Well, I think we should definitely remember, which we will not remember, to check in next time. And you should ask me, like, what became of this loaf of 9-grain bread? Was there, like, a lonely last slice that nobody wanted because I threw away?
Because you threw away the heel?
Yep.
Okay.
I didn't throw away the back heel because I didn't want to reach that far into the bag while you were watching, but I will do it later.
I feel like lonely last slice is... I don't know. It sounds like the name of like a really good like tear in your beer kind of song.
Yes.
Lonely last slice.
Like it's a metaphor.
It is. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like all the other slices are getting turned into sandwiches, but you're just alone in the bag.
They're all like sand buddy, like sandwiching up. and I'm just the lonely last slice.
I just lost my headphones off the back of my head.
When what I really want is to like get in between two of those other slices.
But instead, you're sitting around in the bar drinking beer so that when somebody does take you out of the bag, you're all drippy. We've made this joke go on too long.
No, I'm so glad it's back.
Okay, what you snacking, Matthew?
Hey, what you snacking? You gotta tell me what you snacking. Or I'll release the kraken. So what you snacking?
What you snacking?
I'm snacking something that was brought home from Trader Joe's by wife of the show, Lori, and it's Trader Joe's Crispy Crunchy Spicy Mochi Rice Nuggets.
Wow, that's a lot of words. Could you say it again?
Trader Joe's Crispy Crunchy Spicy Mochi Rice Nuggets. They are a new spicy version of an existing Trader Joe's crunchy snack. They are real tasty. You know, they really hit that, like, I thought I was just going to have one of these and now I'm going to have 10 of them.
Can I try one?
Yes, please. I think they've got like a perfect, like, you know, intense but light crunch. They're quite spicy. They've got like a really good spice blend on them. I really like them. And they're salty.
Oh, wow.
Pretty good, right?
Yeah. Wow. That is a really great texture.
Yes. So find those at Trader Joe's, which is still not sponsoring the show. Yeah,
oh,
pretty
God.
Good, right?
Wow, that's really spicy.
Yes. So just
wow, that's like legit spicy.
I know, to prove that Trader Joe's is not sponsoring the show, she also brought home some Trader Joe's like crispy okra snacks, which we both felt like you really would have to really love okra more than we do.
Okay, that's fair. Oh my God, that's so spicy.
I know, right?
Wow, okay.
Molly, do you have a now but wow?
I do. So by the time this episode comes out, everybody will have already watched this show. But if you are one of the people who hasn't yet...
I haven't yet. I'm looking forward to it.
Okay. It's called Beef. It's on Netflix. Stars Ali Wong and Steven Yeun. And it is a dark comedy that begins with a road rage incident and kind of like spirals into utter
chaotic
comedy from there. As I mentioned, stars Ali Wong and Steven Yeun, so you know that it is going to be delightful and delicious. And so that is Netflix Beef.
All right. Our producer is Abby Circatella. Molly has a wonderful newsletter called I've Got a Feeling that you can subscribe to at mollyweisenberg.substack.com.
Indeed. And Matthew has an EP out.
I do. It's called Departures. It's from my band Early to the Airport. I mentioned it last week, but if you didn't listen to it last week, you should listen to it now. And if you did listen to it last week, you should listen to it again because we'll take all the streams we can get.
You can rate and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
You can chat with other Spilled Milk listeners in an asynchronous way on Reddit at everythingspilledmilk.reddit.com. And until next time, thank you for listening to Spilled Milk.
I'm Otto Rowetter.
And I'm Manuel Rowetter.
I thought you were going to be Gustav Papendick.
Oh, and I am Gustav Papendick. Is there anything else you want me to be?
Manuel Rowan. Okay, yeah, I'm Molly Weisenberg.
Yeah, me too.
Abby, you're going to cut this part out. Oh, pardon me, burped.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 bacon bundle, because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the bacon cheese slider, 1921 bacon cheese slider, or chicken bacon ranch slider. And also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 bacon bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.